Togo. It's the 2019 Walt Disney production. It's based on the true story of the Sarum Run in Nome, Alaska. If you were to watch this film, you, like me, would probably be reminded that some stories just capture well the things that go on within us. This particular movie, it has two basic storylines that are interwoven. It's this man, Sapala, and his wife, Constance. They run out of Nome, Alaska, a kennel for sled dogs. They're known for breeding Siberian huskies, some of the best around the world, ones that would win titles. Well, there's this little runt wild dog. He'll later be named Togo, but at the time he was nothing more than an annoyance to the musher Sapala. But to the wife Constance, he was just this joy of a dog. And it would create marital conflict within them, but Sapala knew that there was no room for this dog in his kennel. Matter of fact, it was such a burden on him, he gave the dog to somebody who just needed a good old dog to have around the house. Well, Togo finds his way all the way back to Sapala's kennel. At some point, Sapala decides to humble himself and see maybe that there's something inside of this dog. And, well, this dog wasn't just a dog to put on the sled line. No, this dog was different. This runt, he was a different breed. He was a lead dog. And the second Sapala humbled himself and put the dog where he rightfully belonged, they would become great friends. And not just great friends, they would go on to win the Alaska sweepstakes together. It was an incredible story in and of itself, but there's another storyline going on in this movie. Well, in Alaska in 1925, there was the diphtheria epidemic. And back then, this was a big deal. The local town doctor said the mortality rate for anybody who would get this would be 100% mortality. Well, there was a vaccine that would allow for healing to happen, but what stood between those who were sick and the vaccine that could help was 600 treacherous miles. And bigger than that was the storm that filled those miles. No plane in, no plane out. No vehicle in, no vehicle out. However, for a team of sled dogs, there was a way. And so the town came together, and those who were in the mushing industry, they created a relay, and they didn't think that much could happen, and yet they decided that for something to navigate this troubled world, there would have to be, well, a bold response. And so these group of sled dogs would make a relay and make way for something to happen. I want to press pause for just a second on the movie Togo. Let us kind of be reminded that every era is much like every human. At some point, we all recognize that we have seasons in which we have to navigate very troubling and hard times. That's why we've been walking through this Advent series humble. We've been reminded that we need to walk wisely in a troubled world. So we've been asking, how do we do that? Well, we've been looking to Jesus and seeing that he navigated the world in a humble way, and with doing so, God left very bold results. Great peace, great joy, great love, and as we're going to see today, great hope. I'm going to encourage you to jump in your Bible to Psalm 130 this morning. We're going to walk through Psalm 130, but let me just give you a little context as you turn in your Bible there. There's a lot of tensions when you're reading the Psalms, because what makes them so difficult to understand is also what makes them so profound in the way that we apply them. Think about it this way. They're hard because, well, the Psalms speak of the raw reality of intra and interpersonal conflicts, of social issues, of economical things that are going on, of national tragedy. But those very things that make them hard to understand because we didn't live in that moment in history are the very things that make them helpful. They remind us where we are today that we too can live raw and real before our God and with each other in ways that handle the personal issues that are going on, the social issues, the economic issues, the national and even the global issues that concern our very troubled world. I also want you to know that Psalm 130 is one of 15 psalms that are kind of labeled the ascent psalms. Well, what is an ascent psalm? These would be the psalms that were written and then later turned into songs. And these psalms would be sang as the people of God would find their way to Jerusalem. Jerusalem held a lot of the festivals. And so as people were walking up their way to Jerusalem, they would sing these psalms to prepare their mind, their heart, and their overall being for the festivities that were in front of them. I thought it would be helpful this morning as we walk into the week of Christmas to allow Psalm 130 to be a song of ascent that would prepare us for the Christmas festivities. Let's see what God might do as we walk humbly toward Jesus, that he would prepare within us bold hope. Look at Psalm 130, verse 1. It says, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord." Let's be real for a second. When our depths are disturbed, we need not be scared, but rather awakened. Do you see this psalm? It says to cry out to the Lord. This is an act of humility. This is, well, us saying, God, I live in a troubled world. I am a troubled person, but I know you designed me for something greater than this. You designed me for sustainable joy, peace, love, hope, faith, the types of things that win in any scenario. We were designed for that. So Lord, I'm going to cry out to you out of the depths of what's going on inside of me. But to put depths in context, think of it as suffering. Think of it as oppression. Maybe grab hold of the image that the author intended for it to have. You've probably seen in some movie, or maybe you've even had this experience in real life where you see somebody who's in water far beyond their capabilities, and this hand that's moving, it's not waving high. It's declaring, "I'm drowning." Think about that. As the depths of our beings cry out, we humbly declare we're drowning. We need hope. That's what this psalm is preparing us for as we walk into the festivities of Christmas. Verse 2 goes on and says, "O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy." If we're honest, we know that the troubled world that we live in, well, some of those troubles are just from generations before us. It's just basic sin has caused a broken world. But it's real easy to point the finger and blame those who have gone before us or those who live among us or even just blaming 2020 in and of itself. But notice that this song that we're singing is different. This song is more personal. The psalmist writes, "Hear my voice." Are you willing to be raw and real and own the fact that some of the trouble that we find ourselves in is our own doing? It's our own sin. It's our own selfishness. It's our own insecurities. It's our own inability to live humbly amidst the times that we find ourselves. We're not always as holy as we would want to be. And so it says, "Hear my plea for mercy." Are you willing to do that as we walk into Christmas this year? I'm honestly praying. I'm praying that this wouldn't just be a different Christmas. I know it will be a different Christmas. Almost for everybody, there's going to be things about this Christmas that are just different. But that's not what I'm praying for, that you would just navigate a different Christmas. I'm praying that you would have a unique Christmas. kind of like the one that Mary and Joseph had. You know, they were planning on staying in an inn, but rather they found themselves in a cave, in a stable, in a manger. And out of that unique Christmas, God would do some great things. Amidst the disruptions that you're going on, are you looking for just a different Christmas, or are you actually preparing for a unique Christmas this year? You see, God doesn't waste seasons. He maximizes them if we allow him to. Look at verse 3. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? As we stand before a holy God, most of us own the fact that we don't measure up. If we're sitting on Santa's lap, we honestly know when we look at who we are and some of the bonehead things that we do, we know we all deserve coal. But what if there's something more going on? What if God, in our humility, would like to give us a grander or greater story? My guess is, as you walk through the holidays, you're going to have to find yourself around some people who don't choose humility as a way of living. And you would find those people at times to be prideful, arrogant, ignorant. And we all know those types of people are the Scrooges of holidays. And I just have to wrestle with the fact that do we want to be those types of people, or do we want to pursue the ways of Jesus? And in humility, find bold hope. I know, it's Christmas. Tyler, where's the Christmas message? Well, it's here. As we prepare to walk into Jerusalem, as we prepare for the festivities of Christmas, let's continue on in the song. Verse 4 says, but with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. This word but is there to kind of change the whole scene. You see, but when we humbly choose Emmanuel, God with us, there's even a greater story. What's great about this is Christmas hasn't just come. Christmas continues to come, and Christmas is coming again for all eternity. You see, this word but here, it's a word of grace. We deserved coal, but we got a grander story because of the humble approach that Jesus took to walking a troubled world. And Emmanuel would become the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. We move on in the song to verse 5. It says, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I have hope. Hope. It's an expectation or a belief in the fulfillment of something desired. I love how the author uses the word wait and hope, and he attaches them together because waiting has an object on the other side of it. You don't wait on wait, you wait on something on the other side of the wait. And, well, the Lord would say you can hope in the who? The Lord. And so I'm just going to ask you a few questions as we prepare our hearts to walk into Christmas. Can I honestly ask you, how's your soul? How's your soul doing? Is your soul centered? Is your soul redeemed? You see, the holidays, they can be a great magnifier. The highs seem to just jump higher. But the wounds oftentimes have a tendency to cut even deeper as we walk through the holidays. Where's your soul? How's it doing? Do you honestly have hope? You see, hope is way more than an emotion. It's way more than a feeling. It's way more than an attitude. The hope of the scriptures is a relationship. a trusted relationship, one that you can trust in the who, the Lord, the Emmanuel, the Jesus, the Messiah of Christmas. Continue on in the song and we'll see this. It says, my soul waits for the Lord. More than a watchman for the morning, more than a watchman for the morning. This is one of those hard parts. We don't really understand and have watchmen. But go back in their context, and we're talking about people that were responsible to be on guard, to protect a people and a land that they loved through the night. And this is a time where it's pre-mass electrical lighting, pre-night vision goggles. You are trying to protect a people in a land that you love, and you can't see farther than your hand's reach. And so you don't know if the enemy's coming in, and so you would wait with great anticipation for the break of morning's light. And as soon as the morning light would break, there would be relief, because you could see as far as the horizon that there was no trouble right upon you. It's like kids waiting for Christmas. There's a great anticipation and desire to be there. You see, we live in a broken and troubled world. And if we're honest, we need Christmas far more than just a Christmas holiday. Hear me out. I'm not suggesting we need more Christmas music year-round, okay? That doesn't sound good for anybody. But we need genuine Christmas, the one where hope shows up day after day after day in a trusted relationship with Jesus. When trouble can't be seen farther beyond our hand, we could trust that the morning light, the morning hope, the morning relationship with Jesus is right upon us. Our soul waits with such urgency because we trust the who that's on the other side of the waiting, of the hope. The song continues in verse 7. It says, O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is a steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. Now hear this, O Israel is a declaration of, oh, it's the people of God, and we wait with urgent trust. You see, waiting isn't a passive word here. It's an urgent word. It's an anticipatory word, and we wait urgently, but we also wait with full trust that Jesus delivers upon his promise. He's the God of the scriptures who's already proven himself faithful. And because Christmas has come, and because Christmas is coming, we can with great urgent trust know that Christmas is ultimately coming again. And when you see this, as the song goes on, we recognize that it's not just love that's extended. It's not just redemption that's extended. It's the nature of God that's extended. And when you see the nature of God, the text tells us it's not just love. It's steadfast, enduring love. It's not just redemption. It's plentiful redemption. It's abundant redemption. And so we have one in whom we can trust to ultimately deliver. Let's look at verse 8. It's the conclusion of the song. It says, and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. What a gift. It's the gift of Christmas. It's the ability for God to come in and change our broken and troubled reality and give us a new identity, a redeemed identity. But make sure we focus on the who, not the what, right? It's not about the gift. It's about the one whom gives the gift. Our hope is in this trusted relationship with Jesus. Friends, this is Christmas. And the best way to walk into Christmas is in great humility, to repent, to cry out to God and say, I'm drowning. I need hope. And I don't just need hope for today, but I need hope for all time. And the promise is Christmas, that the God of the scriptures, the Lord of the earth, he will gather all of his people and he will give them hope. I know, the inner critic is screaming in so many of us. If we're listening to the inner critic, for some of us, he's shouting out this word, fine. Some of you are saying, I'm fine. I am not as bad as so many other people. So many other people need hope far more than me. I don't need humility because I'm fine. And for others, the word that's screaming is beyond. The inner critic is telling you that you're beyond reach, that, well, you're too bad, that there's no such thing as redeeming you for how far gone you feel like you've been. Can I just urge you not to allow the inner critic to deceive you of walking through the Christmas holiday without receiving the Christmas hope? Let's press play again on this movie, Togo. Those who walked through the 1925 Sarum run and said we were fine, they just acted as if, you know, sin had no consequence, that death wasn't upon them. And that was not acceptable. And those who thought of the word as beyond, that this is beyond reach, they looked at the storm that stood between the death reality and the thing that would cure them from death. And they said, well, the storm's too great. It's beyond reach. And there were people who were fine, and there were people who were beyond. And then there were people who were blessed. They were the ones that remained hopeful. They were the Sapalas and the Togos of the world. And what would they do? With great hope, they would navigate the harshest weather conditions. They would adventure through the most treacherous terrains on a limited timeline. But they knew in doing so, it might bring about healing and hope. I'm not asking you to put your hope in a sled dog, in a musher. No. A story like the movie Togo is just a mere glimpse, and it grabs our hearts and our imaginations because we recognize it's a glimpse of the grandest story ever told, the grandest narrative that we've been invited into, and that is the hope of Christmas, that sin has death's consequence, and there is an answer on the other side of that, a Lord who gives hope. And there is a lot of storm in between that. But as we navigate this well with humble hope, a trusted relationship with Jesus, we will be redeemed. And we will find Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us. Christmas that has come, Christmas that is coming, and Christmas that is promised to come again. That will heal all things. And redeem those who will put their trust in the Lord. So friends, will you allow Christmas hope? Will you allow it to be more than a feeling? More than an attitude? Would you allow it to be the trusted relationship with Jesus that it was intended to be? And as you consider walking through a troubled world, would you do it humbly with the Lord? And allow him to produce within you a bold and eternal hope. As we walk into the Christmas festivities, may we do so singing a song of ascent. Allow my friend Logan to bless us this morning as we listen in.